AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, the number one fuckboy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Nada. Okay, here's the thing, guys. I just realized this. A lot of people, when I posted a picture of Arthur, found out that he was a dog and not a nearly silent co-host with the same last name as me. Did you think maybe my brother or my son was an engineer and never spoke? Okay, just asking, freaks. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, first time guest, we've hung out randomly a lot in the last month, more so than we had previously for a few years. Guys, joining me in the studio is Eliza Skinner.
Yay, I'm leaving.
Okay, well, that was fair. It was good to see you. This counts. I hope this counts as having a guest. I'm going to put it up. I don't want to like book another thing. I make you retweet it. I'm like, do me a favor. Can you retweet your episode when it comes out?
I'm on High and Mighty for like a second. The intro really creeped me out.
You can hear me being offended off mic watching.
How you doing?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
How about yourself?
Good.
I like saying good. How you doing right after that intro, as if I brought you in here and I just did that intro. We didn't talk like from the entrance to the house.
Yeah.
Pete Holmes style, where I just like drop into the show.
Do you think that's how he does it? Have you done his show?
Yeah. Maren does it and Pete both do it like that.
The ends of those shows jar me. Or they'll be a time, and that's what my dad did. And, you know, I'm starting to forgive him. Great. Okay. Well, bye. And I'm like, what? Bye.
What's that like in the room? It's like, yeah. Okay, bye.
So I'm always like, you know, they probably tapered it off and then just edited that way for time, but maybe not.
I sure hope so. It's just in the middle of a conversation. I'm like, okay, thank you, Eliza. Goodbye.
My vulnerability. Oh, okay.
That's fine. We get it. You're vulnerable.
Later.
We just were hanging out at Outside Lands in San Francisco.
We were.
And we were talking about, we were seeing some live music. We were hanging out at Father John Misty. We had previously, a month ago, we're in Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
Doesn't that, so, was so that
music
1 month ago?
Buddies.
Or did it feel like 8 years ago?
I can't remember if it was beginning of June or beginning of July.
Yeah, it was very recent. Yeah. Either way, it was this summer.
Yeah.
We got, one thing I want to, I also recently did your podcast, Cool Playlist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, right? That's what it's called? Yeah. I was like, playlist?
It's cool very simple. It's too simple.
It's forgettably simple.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be called Now That's What I Call Playlist. And then I found out that Sony is very litigious about Now That's What I Call.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
On their part.
Yeah. We made up Now That's What I Call. Okay, well, you realize that everybody would be doing shit with that and you'd get even more press right. and attention for it?
No, okay. Now all right. People would go, what's that a reference to? I'm a millennial. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, so you're listening to a podcast. There used to be these things called CDs.
Yes.
And I could.
Yeah. And instead of streaming all your favorite hits on Spotify, you would get CD of just the
dashboard.
Best things. And that's how we used to avoid buying albums before we now avoid them with streaming.
What number do you think they're up to?
800? No, I don't know.
Now that's what I call music, and it's just like 25 Roman numerals in a row. Like, yeah. Does that say 1776?
Mm-hmm.
But on your playlist, on your podcast, Cool Playlist, we were talking about how I am like anti-music, not on purpose, and I'm not against it. I'm terrible at it in any capacity. Mm-hmm. And sort of your wheelhouse, we could
yes.
say.
Yeah.
As long as I've known you, you've been performing both comedy and music, and sometimes both.
Yeah.
Often both.
Yeah. I started out in comedy doing musical improv and got pretty successful. I mean, as successful as you can get in improv with that.
Yeah.
Like, did literally tour the world with it.
Like the joke I like to make is, I think I am one of the more successful improvisers in the world.
Yeah.
I do not have a job.
Yeah. Exactly.
I have health insurance because I'm married.
Oh,
but I am very good at improv.
And those improv jobs, like when I'm like, think about, well, I guess, you know, maybe get one of those. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to think about having show clothes anymore.
Oh,
Were you ever in a type of improv show where you had to have show clothes?
No, because like the extent of all my improv touring was through UCB. So it was like,
so that's all like, we're cool dudes.
Yeah, it's all just like, I'm talking to 5 19-year-old student activities board members that aren't paying attention anyway.
Yeah, I worked for a few other companies also that you would have to have like slacks.
Oh, yeah.
And a button-down shirt.
Well, the Baby Wants Candy dress
mm-hmm.
nice, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Slacks
and
a
button-down
shirt.
Right?
Yeah. And they I somehow had enough personality that for one tour they were like, okay, we've decided everyone has, we want to check in with you about your show clothes. And everyone had the standard thing except for, I think A.D. Bryant fought for not having to wear pants because she hates pants. So she got leggings. But me, they were like, you're wearing black jeans and a black top and your brightly colored sneakers. And I was like, you mean what I actually wear? And they're like, yes, we've decided that's your look. And I was like, oh, now I
what
hate
a dream.
It,
Eliza Skinner's
also
told she could wear all black.
Yeah, I know, right?
Really?
Yeah. And
you want me to cosplay for the craft?
And my distracting sneakers? Okay, great. Cool.
Sold, yeah.
But yeah, I was kind of proud that I got the slacks rule broken.
Yeah, it would be kind of stressful to still be touring in a company. Yeah. I would love to tour solo where you can make like a little bit more money and
you mean stand up?
Yeah.
You'd like to do stand up?
I'll do solo improv. Yeah. I'll do whatever people will pay for.
That's the stand up too. That
still
counts.
Is what
yeah,
I do as
much.
Stand up at
yeah.
all music festivals. I only exclusively get booked at music festivals because it's like the bar for what counts as stand up
like,
is
oh,
solo.
Oh, he'll show up?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like,
he knows how to not get too drunk? Great.
I think I'm built for being booked on music festivals because I have the ability to consume and stay on my feet. So I'm a good time, but not going to be a problem. And also, and Outside Lands being a perfect example of it, I did an improvised stand-up set. I hosted a day of food shows on one stage, and another day I did improv with near strangers,
mm-hmm.
including
yeah,
you.
Yes. What a show.
But it was like three of the weirdest. If I had to do any one of them multiple times, it would have sucked. But the fact that I just, and I was like, there's no one else that would want to do these three different things, no less, actually, and be able to do it means.
Yeah. Well, when you do a music festival, I feel like you're just doing it to go to the festival, right, largely.
And they know that a little bit, so they'll fuck you over on pay.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Like, aren't you just excited you get to see Father John Misty for free? And you're like, fine.
Yeah, the first one this summer at Bonnaroo, I don't think I'd gone to a music festival since I was like a kid. So I was like not prepared for music festival life. And in fact, when I showed up, they were like, everybody started talking about the bands that they were going to see, the acts they were going to see. And I was used to comedy festivals. And when I go to a comedy festival, if someone was like, what shows are you going to see? I would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. I'm not going to watch something I'm not in. What?
I know. I think at a comedy festival, the only shows I would ever watch are like Friends that are perfectly scheduled, like before or after mine.
I might watch them like if there's a bar there and I happen to be having a drink, or like if I'm picking them up afterwards. Right. Like that's, I don't need my friends to watch me. If I would never be like, oh, Gabrus, you know, I'm doing a set. Yeah. You could sit and watch it. Like, yeah.
Thank you. I know how that works.
Wouldn't that be so weird to ask someone?
I think I would maybe go to like some sort of like, if it was a big enough festival, they had like a weird panel. It's like Kids in the Hall are doing a brain candy read.
Yeah,
that would be something I would go to. But I don't need to see stand up improv sketch or anything like that.
I love the people in it. No, I'm glad to hang out with them. I'm not going to.
As soon as you know your show, tell me all about it.
Yeah. So when they were like, oh, we're going to see this, I was like, we're going to actually see things? We're going to be in the crowds, be spectators for this? And then immediately saw a band and was like, oh yeah, this is the best.
Right.
I am going to schedule every second that I'm here and just go from stage to stage.
And that was cool about Bonnaroo, that the people who book the comedy there take care of you on that way, where they're like, what do you want to see? And you're like, really? You care about me?
Yeah.
And it's just, I think, the vibe of Bonnaroo in general. I like the vibe of Bonnaroo in general, it turns out. I'd never been before, and I was super hyped to be there. And if I ever go back, I think I want to like live on this.
Really? You want to do the camping out thing?
I think they have like a glamping
like a fancy
thing.
One?
Yeah, and I'm wondering if they're like, for talent, it's like, could that be more than a hotel? I don't know.
I would guess it probably is more expensive than a hotel.
I'm sure it is, you know?
Because it's, like, a lot of them are rented trailers and stuff, and you know, they only have a certain amount of room. The idea of sleeping outside in any capacity is like, no, thank you.
I only went camping for the first time, like in May.
Really?
Yeah, like a month before Bonnaroo.
Were you ever a scout in any way?
No. Long Island's kind of weird that like our outdoors. Yeah, I just narfed on my fucking. Note to self, buy new screens for these microphones because I just coughed a fucking laugh onto it. Yeah, Long Island's kind of weird in that like the outdoor activity is not really woodsy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that's maybe out east a little bit further, but
so
like,
it's like beachy?
It's just beach. It's like, you go to the beach or you go to someone's backyard, you know? And so that was never even something I thought
of. Above ground pools there. Yeah, okay. It seems like an above ground pool kind of area of the world.
Funny you should mention that. Tiffany recently was saying to someone, like, I can't wait to get a house. I just want a built in pool so bad. And her friend was like,
built in?
Friends were like, built in? Yeah, you mean a pool? And she goes, well, a pool that's in the ground. And her friend's like, what other pools would you get? And Tiffany's like, I had an above ground pool growing up. And I'm like, so did I.
Wow.
I didn't. My parents didn't even get an above ground until I left.
Ugh, and how I was a rude. Fucking
lifeguard. And if you don't think this comes up in therapy weekly, I was a lifeguard. I was a water bug. I spent every day at the beach, every day at friends' pools. I worked at pools. I maintained pools for a living at Hofstra. I did all that. And my parents still didn't get a pool until I moved out.
Was it maybe then a tribute to you? Maybe they missed you and they were like, we need a pool.
I think it was more like a backslide trap. Like, sort of like,
maybe he'll come back.
Maybe he'll leave Brooklyn.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't work.
It did not work. I only moved further away.
Above ground pools are so weird. Like, I assume they must have grown from like the old timey, like, oh, Pappy takes a bath in the tub out back. What if we made it bigger?
Yeah,
this
like
could
it's
be a
like,
whole pool.
It's like a permanent kiddie pool.
Yeah,
you know what
you
I mean? It's like when you blow up a little kiddie pool, you're like, well, what would happen if this had 4-foot walls and like some structural integrity to it?
Yeah, because no one's ever like, ooh, what if we put a pond on the ground. Right. Which is also what it is.
It is technically a chlorine pond. It's a fish tank that humans go in. Did you ever see that famous viral picture?
The Long Island monster thing?
Oh, no, the Montauk Monster?
Yeah, the Montauk Monster.
That's what I call my dick. No, I'm just kidding. I actually do call my dick.
That does not evoke a good visual.
No, here, what I really call it, and it evokes even worse visual, is the Long Island Medium. It's not big, it's not small, but it's a Long Island Medium.
No, that's good. That's friendly.
I like it that. It has an interesting blonde haircut. No, the picture of the dudes who set up an above ground pool in the basement.
I'm trying to come up with a cold reading pun here, but I'm
the pool was cold reading.
No. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
They were in above ground pool, in a basement, mm-hmm. and they were had all these surge protectors plugged in all over to run the pool and shit
That's
and
it janky. Looked
and I think it exploded on Reddit because they posted a picture of we did it. You can set up a pool in your house, and the first 100 comments were get out of there. Chlorine gas needs to be able to escape. Crack windows. Why do you have electrical plugs hanging over the ceiling?
Do you think they had chlorine in that thing?
I'm sure they did.
Really? I feel if they're running like that, they're I don't know, I think we could put juice boxes in here. Yeah, we can just empty that. It's fine.
This is mostly beer and a lot of bath water.
Yeah, what's cool is we save money because we run the water from our sinks straight into the pool.
Yeah, you don't pay for sink water.
You just flush straight into the pool.
The toilet goes right to the above ground in the basement. Don't go down there. Did you have a pool growing up?
No.
You're from Virginia, correct?
Yeah. I lived in a very historic house.
Oh, no pool ever allowed, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I had friends who, not only did I have a friend with a pool.
Best way to have a pool is to have a friend with it.
Yeah,
because you don't have to do any maintenance.
Yeah. They also had an in-ground trampoline.
What?
Yeah.
I've only seen that one other time.
It was so cool. It also seemed dangerous because especially in the fall when all the leaves would fall, it just blended in from far away. It was just there's the lawn.
I picture a landscaper pushing a lawnmower.
And boing.
It's chopping trees as he flies.
Yeah. But any kind of fear or tension that you may have about jumping on a trampoline and falling off of it, it's gone. The only leftover fear and tension is what if my leg slips in between the springs and I get all scraped up, which I also think about
a
lot.
I split myself in half.
Yeah. So that was a pretty cool combo, too. It was you got everything.
Could you get into the pool from the trampoline if you were...
I don't... we couldn't because we were too little, but I can't remember if it was big enough, if it was close enough that, the teenagers probably were able to.
Yeah, was jumping off the roof of the person who had a pool's house the big thing in your... That was huge in my town. Whoever had a pool, if it was remotely near their house, were let's get up on the roof and jump
no,
in.
No, not enough people had pools, and I only had... I mostly only had rich friends in elementary school. Yeah, so we all lived in...
Historic open open-topped houses.
Yeah, we had a shanty town. No, for middle and high school, I didn't have... I had, regular income friends.
Right.
And in Richmond, pools were... you were really rich if you had
a pool. That's how Long Island was. Only the richest people had pools. So
I don't remember having friends with pools.
One kid, the guy who is our... Speaking of games from earlier, our dungeon master, he had a pool at his house, making it the ultimate summer house. You would just go there, play in the pool. When it started to get cold or you started to get wrinkled, be like, you guys want to play D&D for 7 hours? play D&D for 7 hours, order super pizza, eat it, go back in the pool. And
wait, soup or pizza or super pizza?
Super pizza was the local pizzeria.
Okay.
Where the pizza delivery guy would also grab you 40s if you got him on the phone, even if you were 15. Wow. He would charge you $10 a 40, a 400% markup for him.
Uh-huh.
So it'd be can you also bring 4 40s? He's like, 40 extra dollars. So we get a pie and 4 40s for 15-year-old kids.
Would you guys drink, would you each drink an entire 40?
Easily, yeah. That was the big thing. Drinking 2 40s was where I'm from, for whatever reason, I thought was what everyone else's childhood was like. I was like, we were getting smashed every weekend starting in 7th grade. And they were like, what? And most people are like, yeah, exactly. But I thought everyone was doing that. But I think it might be a specific type of suburb. Because Long Island is that's every town is there's a high school that everyone goes at and drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I grew up in the city.
Right. Yeah, that'll change it.
Yeah. Also, like, I grew up with an innate sense of danger for hanging out late at night outside.
That makes
sense. Like playgrounds or whatever. Like, oh, yeah, you'll get taken or murdered or both.
My parents, on the other hand, were like, wear these cute shorts and, like, stay out all night at a playground.
Act
I'm like,
sleepy.
Huh? Here's some red wine and turkey. Yeah. What?
But I do remember the first time that me and my friend got her older brother to buy us beer.
Yes.
And I was already driving then. So I guess I was 16 and he didn't have a car and I did. So it was like a weird power balance where he was like, I'll buy you guys beer, but you have to give me a ride to my friend's house. And I was like, okay, weird. And then when we got there, I remember him trying to pull some sort of like, should I actually do this? I don't know. And I'm like, you're in my car.
Yeah. Motherfucker.
So, yes.
I'll leave you here.
Yeah. And he bought us a 6-pack and we split it. So I guess I had 3 beers.
Holy shit.
And then the next day we went to King's Dominion and I was like, oh no, are we going to be hung over? People get hung over. Will we be able to ride roller coasters? And no, I was fine.
You don't know that when you're 17.
Does not matter.
You can't get hung over no matter how much you drink, no matter how much you puke. You're just like, wake up in the morning and be like, I guess I got to go to school and football practice and I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah, that needs to be included in the discussions of hangovers, because I feel like when you're a kid, you hear about hangovers and you're like, when people drink, they get hangovers. And then you drink and you're like, I didn't. And then you're like, I'm magic. It'll never happen.
Yeah.
I have superpowers.
And you can make it for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
And then even there comes a period of time, at least for me, I didn't start drinking coffee until I was like 23 or 24. Mm-hmm. And that like gave me another year of being able to handle hangovers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'd wake up in living in New York and be like, I feel like shit. Let me get an egg sandwich and a coffee and then I'd feel better and it would just carry me at least through the hangover.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, if I have like a beer at lunch, I'm hungover till Sunday and I have diarrhea and like my whole body's falling apart.
And
like,
just everything in my life is wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm just
it's
sad.
Sliding doors. Every beer I have is just like the wrong direction. And it's like, maybe it took me to be 36 and realize I have lifelong full family tree of alcoholics in every direction, deep, deep, deep. And maybe I should skip it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's why I have this giant drawer of weed.
There you go. Well, yeah. And I think that alcohol, as I said, it's a depressant. It makes you sad. And in my family, it's like, yeah, we got a lot of alcoholics, but let's peel back that crispy outer layer and find all the depressives that we have.
Right, yeah.
All the depression.
Chicken just or eggs, sweetheart.
Yeah, exactly. They're just self-medicating that and then making it worse.
You don't want to see these guys not drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a bad sign when someone's an alcoholic and everyone else is like, let them be drunk.
Yeah.
Music festivals. I went to Lollapalooza when I was like 13
Whoa,
with my friend and his dad.
That was the era to go.
Oh, yeah, it was. The headliners were Wu-Tang and Metallica.
Yes.
So I saw Wu-Tang at, were you at Clusterfest this year? Didn't we run into a joke?
No, I did. Last year I was at Clusterfest.
At Clusterfest this year, Wu-Tang performed and I was seeing them. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Have I ever seen these guys live? And I was trying to think back. I'm like, never in New York City. And then it all came back. I saw him at Randall's Island. This would have been seventh grade, so 1994?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, 1993?
Mm-hmm.
And it was fucking, like, I was a big Metallica fan. I wasn't into hip-hop yet. I had been into hip-hop when I was a kid and then fell out of it when I moved to an all-white town. And everyone was like, you got to listen to Weezer. And I was like, no complaints. But then seeing them live, seeing them at that show, I was like, holy shit, this is cool as hell.
Well, you say you're not a music guy, but I you like music. You're
a
good music fan.
Yes.
Just not producing it, you feel uncomfortable with. Yes. Okay.
I can't do the things I want to do musically. You know what I mean? And I don't even want to like drum or like play the keyboards or whatever. I just want to be able to, when I sing a cappella or when I sing over a song, people are like, I know what song you're trying to do. I can't even get to the point where they're like, I'm not positive what you're doing, Gabrus, is a song. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, it's my favorite song.
Right. Well, I don't want to discount that and say that you're wrong about what you say about yourself, but
right,
I bet you could.
Can.
It's just, you know, so much of it is practice, like
right.
anything.
This kind of came up on Cool Playlist. You were explaining it to me. And I realized,
you can,
if you suck at something and it embarrasses you, you're less likely to practice.
Yeah. My philosophy is if you like singing, people like hearing you do it. If you don't like it, no matter what your voice sounds like, it makes you uncomfortable, it makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I love when Tiff sings and she will say she's not a good singer, but to me, it's it's like so enjoyable to hear
if
her
she's
sing.
Having fun. Then yeah. Yeah. But I asked that question because what I feel like I can tell from your musical taste is you like epic music.
Always.
You like dramatic, like stop everything. Here's the song.
Yes.
from genre to genre to genre.
Oh,
which
yes.
Is
I
very
like
fun.
Epic movies. I like epic songs. Like that's my wheelhouse. Yeah. Yeah. Even in hip hop too, like just the big bass yeah. lead ups to like fucking.
I wish I had liked Wu-Tang, had been more exposed to Wu-Tang when I was a kid, when I was younger. I think my theory is that the radio in Richmond was very racist. I know that they would like.
I think you can leave Richmond out of that sentence, well, and it might be a pretty strong theory still.
Well, because I only knew about Top 40 radio for the most part, and I know I would listen, I would hear songs on the Rick D's, Casey Kasem, whatever mm-hmm. top four like countdown, and then want to hear it again and call in the radio station. They would be like, "We're not going to play that." So any hip hop or anything else that was big enough to pop into the top 40, the literal top 40 songs of that week, got played at least once. So that's my theory. But
that's a strong theory. Because also, I've recently read up on like that disco demolition night that yeah. went down. And I think it was Rhea Butcher who was posting
yep,
like
yep.
it was sort of an anti-gay sentiment. Yeah. And I had never
anti-gay,
even...
anti-black, anti-Latino.
Because that's
yeah.
like... Because white people music is mm-hmm. metal or
white
whatever.
Man music white specifically. Man music. Sorry,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Lita Ford did what she could, but right, yeah. Joan Jett was trying. But
and it was like, oh, that's really interesting. I never put that together in my head. I was just like, oh yeah, disco. But the music I listen to now sounds more like disco. The music I like now yeah. sounds more like disco,
dramatic
than rock and roll
and epic.
Yeah, and synthy.
Yeah, well, and hip hop started from people rapping over disco.
Right. Yeah.
So I've always said I like that tension of like the like anger over this like just sexy kind of fun light music.
Oh, I love on a hip hop song when like the aggressive lyrics and you're like the song that they're sampling is like the goofiest mm-hmm. and well, sort of gay song I've ever heard, and they're rapping like gotta get my bitches in this area over here.
Well, and that's one of the things that I love about Method Man specifically. It was all of his, how silly his references would get. And one of the things we connected on when I was writing for him for the past 2 years, his speaking stuff. I wasn't writing his raps. Although
I was a Wu-Tang ghost.
Although, I mean, I wrote raps for the show for Drop the Mic. And I did get told I have bars by Method Man many times.
Bars.
Yes.
There
yes.
you go. I would agree. Someone who's watched a ton of freestyle as a Wild Now cast member for 3 seasons,
whoa.
Say Skinner's got bars.
I do have bars, but yeah, what was weird was I would write stuff for him that was because I'm paying attention to him and stuff he likes. I would write really goofy wordplay stuff for him, and he would love it. And TBS would be like, "This doesn't sound like Method Man, can you put it in more meth speak?"
Yeah.
And I would go back and tell him, and we'd be like, "These okay, all right, we know what they're saying." And so, because I wanted
can
to be like,
be
"Look,
blacker?
I'm exactly." And so, and I wanted to be like, "You know that I know," and we'd be like, "Yep, yeah, yep, yeah, we both know that this is that you want to say this like goofy line about whatever oatmeal."
Yeah.
And I got to make it something about.
That's why I like.
Oh, and they liked old slang too. It was the, like the slang of a 40-year-old, not because I would give them current slang, and they were like, "We don't know what this means."
Oh,
and so Meth would be like, "Ugh, I keep having to say lit." I'm like, "I'm trying to give you options."
It's lit. I just recently saw Don Will retweeted Donald J. Trump Jr. saying it's lit, and he goes, "Black people, we mourn the loss of the word lit. Let it be known that it's been done. Please give us some time as we process this." wait, so going back to Wu-Tang, they're goofy shit. Wu-Tang and, I mean, Action Bronson came way later for me, but they both like rapped about stuff that like I liked, you know what I mean? Like, I love kung fu movies. I love... Yeah. Action Bronson raps about food and like sleepover parties and shit. And it's like, that's the stuff that now why we're talking about hip hop so much. But I will say the other thing that got me into hip hop when I got around to getting into it again was it's like comedy.
Yeah.
It's a lot like comedy. It's like a good set of bars is a setup and a punchline.
Exactly.
And I think like Lil Wayne is like the perfect intro to that if you're not into hip hop is like, cause he's the most... Legible is not the word you use for audio, but like he's he's very clear.
Yes.
Sometimes you miss lyric, and especially for me, I have a hard time hearing lyrics often, but Lil Wayne's always so clear and he's so fucking funny.
Yeah. A lot of hard R's. And I feel like hip hop is kind of taking the same shift that comedy, or a lot of hip hop artists are taking the same shift that a lot of comedy artists have taken into, no, seriously, I got serious stuff to say. Hey, look, I'm not just Splash. I'm also Philadelphia.
Right.
And so now they're doing this like therapy rap that's like, right. Hey, listen, we got feelings and, you know, we got to think about them and the consequences, yeah. Where we're coming from.
I can't wait till, you know, like after Lil Wayne watches Nanette and see what he brings to the table after watching.
Yeah.
No, I'm changed. Huh?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe not Lil Wayne is so much of it, but it's just in general. But I was going to say, so does Lizzo. I think that's one of the things that I like about Lizzo. Like the first song of hers that popped that I noticed was Where the Hell My Phone. It's just like, Where the Hell My Phone? And like, yes, this is something
very
I care
relatable.
About.
Yes.
I can relate to this.
I lose my phone.
All the time.
It's always in my hand except when it's absolutely lost.
And it ruins a night.
That's what I always tell my wife. I'm like, Tiff, you're either holding your phone or you have no clue where it could be.
Yeah.
Something happens where you take it out. Where do you go where it might end up being? Like, it's always a foot away from you somewhere.
Yeah.
Should I call my phone for me? The amount of missed calls on our phones from just each other in the... Honestly?
That's a couple thing.
I don't mean to rub it in. But if only... You can text me. Oh, no, you can't.
I can email
you. Email me and say, call my phone next time you lose your phone.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks so much. Yeah. No, I have to find my phone on the different devices, so it'll be okay.
Oh,
it's
that
all
works.
Right.
That works. Yeah, that makes sense.
But, yeah.
Train your cat to, like, leave, like, yeah, some catnip on your phone.
He would not. He would just passive-aggressively not find it. Just be like, learn.
Pay attention to me. Stop looking at screens.
Oh, God.
Screen time is bad for humans.
I feel like that's what he does to me anyway. Also, I love that Arthur is showing me more and more of his things.
Yes,
he brought me two carcasses of stuffed animals.
He will continue to... We can only buy him carcass, the flat animals, because...
He'll tear it open.
There's something about him or his breed or his like upbringing, not us. He was only... We got him at like 12 weeks, so I don't know what he learned. But he will find the tiniest little flaw in a toy and only pick at that.
Oh, like, I thought you were going to be like, trying to find the tiniest flaw and be like, disgusting. That's not for me. Get me a perfect one.
It would be like if an indestructible toy had a little tag on it, you could watch him for 4 days in a row pause on it, mm-hmm. pulling with one tooth on the same mm-hmm. spot on the tag. I'm like, is this enjoyable for you? He like wants to.
So he's a hacker.
Yeah, he literally is like, thanks for this. Can I destroy it? And I will try my fucking hardest.
My cat, I had to get him.
What's your cat's name again?
Casper.
Okay, great name.
I had to start getting him stuffed animals because he humps. And he...
I've never seen a cat hump.
They have stand up about it, but it's not like... It's not like dogs. It's very slow and sensuous. Ooh. And it's the way
all of a sudden I'm like,
I know, that's what's so gross about it.
That you're into it.
You know how
of course cats are sexier than dogs.
Yeah, right. You know how they make biscuits, you know, when they do that little patting? So it starts like that, and then just the attitude shifts. And
the music changes, the lighting changes.
Yes, exactly. And I was like, oh, I'm a creep. Because I was like, I think I'm bringing... Am I just assuming that's what this is about? Because that's a weird...
Is this not supposed to be sexual? Am I applying this?
Yeah, exactly. And then I started looking it up and there are all these chat rooms of people being like, nope, that's exactly what it is. I was like, okay. And I started thinking about it and I was like, you know, he's not making any kind of judgment call. It's not like he's spent nights at clubs and then been like, she's one of those hoes. You know, she's just like, this is what my body wants to do because I need to chill out. And also, I like this person.
Yeah, that's what already, when he gets wound up, when he gets like really excited, you can see it in his eyes when he starts being like,
yeah.
And I'm like, dude, get your hand. When he puts his paws like on one part of your leg or your arm, you're like, I'm fucked. Here comes the lipstick.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. So I got him stuffed animals, so he started humping those, and he's just destroyed them because he's humped them flat, torn the chest open, stuffing
Jesus.
Everywhere.
It's like a fucking xenomorph.
Yeah. He gets into it. He needs a roughneck.
Does cat anatomy change upon arousal?
Yeah,
do they
but
have
he's
lipstick?
Very yes, but he's very fluffy, so I don't
you
have
can't
to deal
tell.
With that.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah,
if he was a short-haired cat, that would be a probably a harder relationship. to be okay with.
Not a fan of short hairs.
Yeah. Arthur just got real mad.
Yeah. Arthur's a short-haired dog, so if he's sitting and has an erection, it's in the living room. Ooh. Like, it's must be spoken about. Ooh. You're like, hey, pal, it's touching the floor.
So not a Long Island medium, is what you're saying. No.
He is a black dog.
Oh, God.
I know what you're thinking, listeners. You are so jealous of how amazing my hair is. You poor thing. You're balding. That's what happens to men as we get older. 2/3 of us lose our hair by 35. And here's the thing. Once you start to notice the loss, apparently it's too late. It's easier to keep hair you have than to replace hair you lost. So you know what I'm talking about. You've heard these guys on the podcast before. I'm talking about 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. Here's the thing, though. It's not just like weird gas station pills or like, snake blood that you rub on your temples. It's Hims connects you with real doctors and medical grade solutions. So it's not like for Hims, you don't have to do the waiting room. You don't have to do the doctor visits. It's time saving. It saves all the awkward stuff, and you get generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions. No snake oils. It's all prescription solutions. So it's not like it's a sketchy business. It's not like it's a sketchy pill or something you're taking. It's a real pharmaceutical prescription pill. 4hims just helps you set up with a doctor. So do yourself a favor, order now. You know, my listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. So see website. You got to see website for details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. So go to 4hims.com/mighty. That's FORHIMS.com/mighty. 4hims.com/mighty. Do you have music festival advice or music festival things you always do?
Well, I do have a music festival a strangeness in that the food there, I feel like what I've learned from these festivals is I will forget to eat.
It's easy. With the help of alcohol, drugs, and stimuli.
And like doing shit. You're right, going from this to this to this. So I'm like, I think I've eaten one meal today and yet I am so stuffed. Like, I feel like I come back 10 pounds heavier from eating. Like,
I was just now outside lands. I'm like, there's no way. And I trying to drop weight and I had lost a couple of pounds and I was like, how'd that happen? Then I was like, oh, I guess I only eat once a day.
Yeah. It's totally weird. Well, and I think it's also a lot of dehydration. So I'm probably eating and just never pooping.
Yeah.
like you want to do that there. No, thanks.
Okay. So that comes into play with some of my advice.
Okay.
Pooping runs my
poop
life.
Poop first.
poop first. Oh, I wake up an hour before I have to get picked up, drink coffee, and I'm like, get it out now because porta potties.
No. Even the fancy ones.
Even the artist
ones. We have access to regular porta potties, VIP porta potties, and the artist ones. And they are all gross.
They're all still
all totally gross. Yes.
They are still porta potties outdoors.
There's fancy
in a fucking
ones, but they're still
in Murfreesboro. Gross. Yeah.
But
pooping's a big thing for me. So my big advice is keep in mind what your beverage is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Choose a beverage. Like often you want to drink some alcohol because it's a music festival. Mm-hmm. If you're a beer person, but beer affects your stomach, keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I'm a vodka and tequila minimal mixers at festivals because I don't want to be full and have to go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. but I do want to get loose.
Well, wine is great for that because wine will dry you right up. Nobody gets wine shits, right?
No.
That's not a thing.
But I also I don't like white wine that much, and red wine in the sun is always not as appealing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Even a Prosecco or a rosé. Those are the summertime.
Yes way, rosé. Your boy over here. I was about to say, I had a frosé this weekend.
We had it together. We had frosé this weekend.
Yes, me, you, and Sheer, we had some frosés. That was delightful.
Yes. Yeah. Those are nice, because sometimes a frosé can be too sugary.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes they're like those New Orleans frozen drinks where it's just out of the machine.
Yeah.
But I think if you're going to a 14 Handles vineyard, an actual vineyard for their frosé, you're a little safer than
that was what was nice about Outside Lands. They had all these local food stalls also.
That's happening more and more at festivals.
Yeah.
I think people are realizing that it's music, music, art, comedy, food. You can just get, if you can get enough people who are like kind of into each thing, you can sell more tickets.
Yeah.
And like people go to Outside Lands and like, we got to go wait in line for this. Like, it's like great food trucks. You know, it's all curated by people and shit like that.
Yeah. The longest food line that I encountered there was at, was right before Janet Jackson, which was the last act of the last day, which was also the coldest. The line,
oh, Sunday was legit
so
cold. Yeah.
The line for hot chocolate. Because I was like, ooh, it's chilly. You know what I love? Hot chocolate. I'm going to go back over to that place. And oh, everyone thought of this. Wait, of course they did.
You are like a major fan of hot chocolate.
I love hot chocolate. Yes. I put myself to bed with hot chocolate every day.
Didn't want to speak out of turn. You had told me that previously. And yes. I was like,
I have
I'm
my
pretty
nighttime.
Sure it's you that told me that they drink hot chocolate every night.
I have my nighttime hot chocolate. Yeah, because
what's your go-to brand? Do you have like a...
Nestle.
Nestle?
Yeah, because I've like tried a few. The instant. Because I've tried a few. I've tried fancier ones.
Yeah.
And they don't mix as well, or they don't.
They get to be like syrupy. Yeah. Like it's almost like melted chocolate, hot melted chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. They get syrupy or they get chalky. And I can't fuck around with like a fat-free, sugar-free thing. Like if I'm doing it, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And I also have my little bag of marshmallows. So I put marshmallows in it.
And you just take that with you.
Yeah,
and like
take
your
that and I sit
piece.
In bed. And I read or watch TV and have my little hot chocolate.
That's so awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
I do not like hot chocolate, but I do have a big glass of ice water on my nightstand every night. A vape pen. And
yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Because I feel like I don't want to drink before bed because it's terrible for my sleep.
Yeah.
Weed just doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah.
And I know, which I would assume would make people think, like, do you get fucked up on your hot chocolate? I don't get fucked up on it, but it's my treat. I feel like at the end of the day, I want some little, hey, good for you. Here's a treat.
That's my 3 to 4 p.m. iced coffee. Yeah. That's my treat of like...
That doesn't keep you up all night?
If I can't do it after 4, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't go to bed till like 11 or midnight. You know, I don't try to go to bed till 11 or midnight.
Yeah.
So it works. I'll have a later coffee if I have a 10 p.m. show or it's poker night or something that's going to be long. But that 4 p.m. coffee I look forward to every day. And if it's a day where I got a lot of work done and have nothing to do that evening, that 4 p.m. coffee becomes the 4 p.m. coffee and joint, which is like the dream. Like you,
that's a speedball.
Yeah. We call it, I think it was Paul Rust referred to it, or maybe Adam Pally. Someone I was hanging out with that called it the poor man's speedball.
Yeah.
And it really is. Like, a big iced coffee and a joint can turn your whole day around. And I don't necessarily mean it's going to steer it in the correct direction, but it'll crank the wheel.
Upside down. What, so you were at the gastro stage, at the food stage for one day. Did you get to eat anything especially interesting?
I didn't. It was a really weird setup in that I had some very good cupcakes and I tried a cocktail made with cold brew and orange rinds and bourbon. That was really good.
Oh, that sounds great.
But that was only because the Doughboys had Sheer on as a guest and I was hosting it, so I wasn't really in anything. And that's the only thing that had friends in it. So they were like, come on out, eat a... And like Eddie Wong and the other people who were doing stuff, they didn't like... come
Need
to
you.
Me and go like, hey, we have this fully realized thing, but do you want to be part of it? It's like,
Because
I would have eaten anything you put in front of me.
Yeah, the best thing I had there was this Japanese poutine.
Ooh, that sounds like in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, because I'm not much of a poutine fan normally. I'm like, that tastes like, to me, a lot of times it tastes like Dinty Moore piled on some French fries.
Selling me. Sounds great.
And I like a crispy fry. But yeah, this was fries with some sort of ground beef. I think they had it listed as like sirloin.
Yeah, grass-fed.
Yeah, but it was ground. It was ground beef. And this Japanese hot sauce and blue cheese all over it.
Ooh,
That was pretty great.
Purple yams, or is it no?
It's like no, it's regular French fries.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
The poutine at the restaurant Animal on Fairfax.
Yes,
very
oxtail good
poutine.
Yeah.
They double fry their fries, so they're so crispy, and they maintain a crisp despite being covered in sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Highly
yeah.
recommend what you're saying. I
love it. I think we've had it with Doug Mand and Dan Gregor.
They're big Animal
mutual
heads.
Pals. And you got to double fry it. That's a frite. I worked at a Belgian restaurant for a while, and that's how you make those frites.
You got to get it to
frites.
Oh yeah. There was that Belgian fry place on Second Avenue in New York City, right? Uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. I forget what it was called, but it would be like, just get like
it had that happy fry outside. Yeah, yeah, it had like a bunch of happy fries.
I have, I think twice in my life ever eaten there, and it was always just like, whoa, fries. Like, happened to be like the culmination of five different activities where I'm like, fries, okay. Mm-hmm. You never like seek out, I think I'm going to go eat fries today.
Yeah, no, it's you agree to it. Or I agree to it also with the auspice of like, you earned this. You deserve it, girl. Yes. Why not? Why not fries you? You're a queen. Nothing can take you down. These aren't going to ruin you. Because otherwise, I would be like, fries. Oh, those are going to ruin me.
Those fries are going to ruin me.
That's going to be that.
But they're not. Because you're a queen.
You're a queen. You can just eat fries. But yeah. So, and there's almost so much different food. It's overwhelming. But I also, one thing, I guess a bit of advice that I have for music festivals is be careful what bands you see, because you will become a fan. If you see them play live, you are going, unless they suck so bad, you're going to like them. We saw Chromeo and we're like, we love this. And Eli, we're like,
they're amazing.
This is amazing.
I'm a big fan of Chromeo. I wanted to see them at like 2 a.m. in, but yes. I saw the Tom Petty Super Jam instead.
Oh, man, I wish I'd seen that.
Pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, that sounded
seeing
great.
Sheryl Crow on stage.
It was like Sheryl Crow. Was Bon Iver?
Yeah, everyone came out and did like one song.
They all sang.
Yeah, but even the musicians that were playing all the songs were like a guy from VHS or Beta, like all these different guitarists and the drummer from My Morning Jacket and shit. It was cool as hell.
Yeah, but 2 a.m. Ooh.
Oh, 2 a.m. is hard.
I cannot do that anymore.
That was the night I did shrooms, so I was capable of almost anything, I think. yes, seeing music live is like sitting next to someone and watching a comedy with someone who it's their favorite movie.
Yes. Or watching a movie with just someone that you really like. You're right. Going to laugh more. You're going to like
gonna
have
get caught
fun.
Up in it. And it's easy, like a couple of drinks, a joint or whatever you're on. All of a sudden, who was the guy that played at Bonnaroo that I fell in love with?
Sturgill Simpson. Yeah. I mean, that's not a hard one to fall in love with.
Right.
He's
actually really good. Yeah. But I would never have like chosen to put him on or something. That's the other thing is like, maybe you put on, you're like, I guess this is the band that's playing for 45 minutes. And if I would never choose to play this album, I might even shut it off if it had come on.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to be here for 45 minutes and I allow myself to be open-minded, you're going to end up being a fan.
Yep.
Especially if they put on a hell of a live show. Like some of these guys that you're like, wow, they can really rock, or charisma, you know?
Yeah, especially
I fell in love with so many keyboardists in like early 2000s, like New York indie rock scene. Like any female in a band, I'd be like, I love you.
Well, they also, if they think about both the setting and how they're presenting it, because like watching, I saw Florence and the Machine at Outside Lands, and she was amazing, and I wouldn't have chosen to see her either. Like, I know her stuff the way that anybody with a brain and ears this time of the millennia knows music. Like yeah, of course I've heard her stuff. But I was like, yeah, all right, everybody's going. She was amazing, maybe one of the best shows that I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
She did keep making people touch each other. She'd be like, all right, everyone, I need you now to hold hands with the person next to you. Tell them that you love them. Put your phone away and also turn around and touch your nose. Like, it was like getting a little out of hand.
But that's the kind of shit. Here's another piece of advice for festivals. Buy into it a little
bit. Oh, yeah. I did it.
I know, totally. And I'm not saying you wouldn't. I'm just saying, like, there is that festival vibe where people are like, happy Bonnaroo, roo, roo, you know, and, like, people give you drugs or give you alcohol, you exchange and shit like that. I think, like, that vibe is very fun. And music festivals are sort of cultivating togetherness, which is not being cultivated in a lot of other dynamics.
Well, and especially
in a lot of other areas.
With comics, like, with stand-ups, I think especially what we do is so solo. Hanging out with a group of comics at a music festival is kind of weird and fun, in that it's like hanging out with a bunch of cats. They're like, no, we don't want to be around you. Okay, we're okay with it. It's not that bad.
Also,
we like,
like
it. We like it.
It adds to it that the comics range in age from 24 to 38 all different genders and ethnicities. And you're like, I know one of them, and there's 9 people, and we're like, I guess we're hanging out for 72 straight hours.
Yep.
That's did mushrooms with Kyle Ayers, who I don't really know that well, and now we're like bonded for
life. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I got a text, a bummer of a text about a dude that I was dating while I was there, and Shane Torres had to be my emotional support guy for a while. Yeah. I'm like, sorry, man. And he's like, we've all been there.
Oh, yeah. I kind of made that joke on on Saturday at Outside Lands when you were like, hey, I'm sorry I'm coming over here to the show. I was like, no, me, you, and Paul were in the shuttle over, which means we're hanging out for 9 hours. Yeah. It's just how it works. You're like, oh, do we have the same things to do today?
Yep.
All right, we're hanging
out. There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
We have never called each other to hang out, but no. At festivals, we're like, yeah, where do you want to go next, friend?
Yeah.
Touch yeah. your nose.
And I also feel like because I've known you for so long, or just known you at all before, I'm like, dibs on Gabrus. Dibs.
Right.
I guess
well,
we have
what it is.
We know each other longer, so he has to hang out with me.
Yeah, like, oh, you're friends with Liza? I'm like, yeah. How long have you known her? 13 years? Have you ever never hung out with two of us?
Not on purpose. No, 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 no. But
yeah, it's like a 13-year long work friend.
Yeah.
And then you're forced to do drugs and hang out with them for a full weekend.
Well, that's your job. So yeah. It counts as part of the thing.
Hey, it's all a high and mighty expense.
Yeah. But what was I saying? That brought up the Florence and the Machine thing for some reason.
Oh,
whatever.
Shit. Yes. Become a fan. Yeah, you get caught up in it.
No. Oh, well, whatever.
It was you're as familiar with her as anyone else from this millennia.
No, yeah, I don't remember. But she was great. But
surprising no one, you were in the middle of a thought. I jumped in, screamed over you, nine minutes.
Oh, I do
minutes.
The same thing. No. I don't care at all. But I was like, I feel like there's something I wanted to say. The worst example of my becoming a fan of someone that I did not mean to was Jamiroquai. I did accidentally go to a Jamiroquai show and was like, they are amazing. I love it.
That's
went through a Jamiroquai phase while I was also, other than that, just like a punk rock kid.
Interesting. That is, but I could see them putting on a fun live show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was what I was gonna say. You got to think of the stage, where you are, the venue, and like put on a show for that place. Oh, that's what it was. Watching Florence Welch. I was like, this woman has a voice on her, and she thinks a lot about it, about where she places it and how she phrases things and how she uses her voice. And so her stage, very sparse, she is in white and lit like crazy. So she's like glowing the whole time, like a ghost.
Awesome.
It was awesome. And I was thinking about that as opposed to those Madonna shows that I would hear about when I was growing up, where it was like every song was a production number with all kinds of set pieces. And
the one I went to, I saw one at
Madonna.
Yeah. At MSG.
When
this would have been after 2003, so not
okay.
That it was because I went with Tiff and her mom, and it was fucking
wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Like during one song, a half pipe came out, and rollerbladers and skateboarders were literally doing tricks, like 10
yeah.
people.
But it's,
and that was for one song.
What other song would it have applied to? Come
right.
on. But that's the other end of the spectrum, and I was like, yeah, well, because Madonna. Not a singer. She doesn't have the pipes to be like, just shine the fuck out of a light on
She's
me and I'm going to be magic. She's like, all right, I make an experience out of everything.
Yeah.
Musically and... with all
this
stuff.
Florence doesn't have backup dancers that she's
no.
doing something
oh God,
with.
No, that would
no.
be so... They brought out a half pipe for a Florence and the Machine song where she's like singing about her anorexia.
And it's like flashing lights and fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
Just to use that as a jumping off, to go back to Lollapalooza,
yes.
1994, Metallica takes the stage, they're playing, they're rocking, it's so awesome.
Do they seem like they're friends? Do they like each other? Where are they in their therapy?
this is around the time of whatever the short hair album was, the first one.
Oh, yeah,
before
yeah,
before St. Anger, was there one called like Load or Reloaded or something like that?
I feel like that's when the Hetfield mustache really took over because it wasn't hidden away by the long hair.
Yeah,
it was when really they went, front and center.
When they went short hair and just became like, looked like four state troopers that you would hate.
They were four state troopers I would have fucked.
Yeah,
I think I was, what, 14?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. They came out on stage and they rocked, they were playing some songs, and all of a sudden, all the lights go out on the stage, and it's nighttime now at Randall's Island, so it's kind of dark, and all of a sudden, you just hear chopper noises, and it's like, and it's like war noises, and
drama!
It's blasting. Yeah, and it's like so much drama, and then it's... the song won. I'm almost going to sing it in front of you, and I'm freaking out. But it's like, absolute horror. I cannot live. I cannot die. And it just slowly starts like, dum, 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 and it slowly builds. And I just never felt, I think that helped me understand later on theater. Like, I think just seeing that, I'm like, this is my favorite Metallica song. And it's like, live old. And as it's building, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, I'm really into this. And then also it's like, duh-duh-duh-duh. And the lights are like,
you're
like, blinking,
yes, take
to
me,
that.
Take
and
me,
like,
take me over. Yeah,
shoot me in the fucking head.
I understand religion.
Yeah. I truly at that moment was like, oh, I get like what putting on a show is. Because yeah. I love listening to Metallica at that phase, but I had no idea I could up the ante of listening to them to that capacity.
Well, and that's the point of it. It's like, right. If you're going to go see them live, make it a whole experience. So, as you said, I've had this whole like music comedy thing, and I backed away from music for a long time and was like, I just do comedy because too many people think that I'm not funny. They think I just have a pretty voice. I got that shit a lot. And I was like, I'm going to prove to them that I'm funny by taking the music away. And then I did that for a while and was like, oh, now I'm just like everybody else. I'm going to put the music back in. But I've always been trying to figure out like where do I fall? What was more my thing? And the most ridiculous thing I'm ever going to say is what I'm about to say, that you know, those moments, you know, people talk about that moment where they see something and they're like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That happened to, I have two major ones of those. One was seeing Jay-Z live at Austin City Limits.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, that's what I should be doing. I should be Jay-Z. Beyonce. Obviously, I should be Jay-Z.
Not a bad choice. Hey, aim high.
Yeah. And seeing Tyler Perry live at Madison Square Garden, one of his touring gospel musicals. And it was Madea's family reunion. And the spoiler, the mother dies. And then she's lifted up into heaven. And there's giant digital wings on either side of her as like she's singing this gospel song and all these people are singing. I was like, yep, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know that sounds crazy.
What is that Venn diagram? What's
that
the
Venn diagram? It, in both cases, it's epic music shit.
Right. Yeah.
And that like,
It's high drama,
but and it's musical. And doing Bonnaroo was a time where I was like looking around. I'm like, yeah, this is really great doing comedy, but like, I want to be on the music stage. And talking to Don Will about like when I got off stage after one of those, he was like, we should be doing stuff. And I was like, yeah. And started talking to him and then told the guys at the Late Late Show, like, oh yeah, I'm started talking to this guy and about doing music stuff. And they were like, no, do music with us, make stuff with us. So I've started writing and recording with them and working on an album now. So
that's awesome.
I mean, it's still funny stuff. It's still comedy music, right.
but everyone could do that.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the point. And So I felt like, I also have this feeling that like, you know, that this is the end times. So I'm like, I got to go ahead and do anything I want
to
do.
Yeah, I said that to Tiff the other day. I'm like, let's not put anything off.
Yeah.
We're like, we got out of debt like just 2 years ago completely after all this. And then in the last year have gone on like 4 vacations.
Yes.
Re-racked all our debt back up and shit like that. Because we were like, if it all does go to shit, I'll be mad that we were saving up to go to Hawaii.
Exactly. Yeah. And it feels like it is.
Yeah.
So
And this is corny, but I was always like, I'm going to do mushrooms someday. And then eventually I was like, I'm going to do mushrooms this month. Like, what am I going to keep putting it off for?
Yeah.
I'm only getting older. No one wants to be 45 and trying mushrooms.
No, you want to be very good at mushrooms by the time you're 45.
When I have a son, I want to be able to look him in the eye and go, this is how you do mushrooms, kid.
Exactly.
It was really random, because this was at Bonnaroo. Everyone always talks about how bad mushrooms taste. I had never had them. And everyone's like, oh, they taste disgusting. I was like, oh, okay. And then someone's like, here are your mushrooms. And I just grabbed them by the handful and just ate them dry. And everyone was like, you don't need. And I was like, oh, this is disgusting to like other people.
Yes.
I'm disgusting.
But I feel the same way. People are always like, mushrooms are disgusting. And then I find out those are people who think all mushrooms are disgusting.
Yeah.
Like I don't. So
like,
I don't have a problem
mushrooms,
with it.
Yeah, I'm not going to choose to eat like savory potpourri any other time. But
no, but it's not so far out of the realm for me that I'm like, oh, disgust, so gross. Yeah, so we're all dying.
Oh, you know who I saw at Bonnaroo that was really exciting was Sylvanesso, who's a big me and Tiff lover.
That. Yeah,
and Tiff turned me on to her, like plays her music all the time. Tiff turned me on to Florence and the Machine. She walked down the aisle to a Florence and the Machine song.
I bet Florence would have loved that.
Florence. I saw Sylvanesso live, and if I could be a, I don't know if the word is misogynist, but if I could objectify her for a second, she's an amazing singer. And then in person, she's very attractive, a very good dancer, but not small. She's, as listeners of the podcast know, I have a sickness for the thickness. She is thick and she can move. And I was like, I left and I was like, Tiff, I'm a huge Sylvanesso fan now. I'm like, you want to go see her live? Let's go, babe. I'm in, dude.
Yeah.
Her songs are very sexy and fun. And then also why would I not put together that she would be sexy and fun?
Yeah.
That's another thing about seeing people live too, is like, if you're in love with someone's voice, just wait till you see them, wait till you see it coming out of their beautiful faces.
Yeah. And yeah. I think, kind of like I was saying, like, if you're enjoying singing, people enjoy watching you. So even if you don't have a beautiful face, even if it right. isn't beautiful when it's coming out, even if you look awkward and bizarre, it's endearing to people because they're like, that's the sound I like. Look at him. He's just got a dumb old human face.
His talent. Yeah. It truly is. It makes people so attractive. Like, anyone showing any proficiency or capabilities is insanely attractive to me. Like, and because I'm so hardwired to be hetero, but I have some, you know, tendencies. I'm not a hard one on the Kinsey scale. But like, you know, like today I like saw a woman like trying to start her motorcycle and then like move something and like you know, just something I couldn't physically
and
do.
You're like, I gotta go home.
I was like, what the fuck? And that's just so cool. And it's like, she's doing maintenance, and like, to me, it's just the most unreal. Like,
I think that's true of everybody. When I was in college, one of my moves was I was a projectionist at the movie theater. And
how many fucking creeps fell in love with you?
Well, most people wouldn't see it, but if I was like kind of dating a guy, I'd be like, oh yeah, you can come by one of my shifts and just like let him watch me like change a reel out. Yeah. And they're like, oh hey, okay, great.
Oh my god, ain't it cool news and a hot chick in one.
Oh yeah, man, I checked all the wrong boxes. Like. I am perfect for the worst people.
Yeah, you are the worst person's type.
Yeah, I am. I am absolutely that.
Like, she's like
my
attractive.
Name is in multiple comic books.
Yes, like, both first and last.
Yeah, no, you but have, I mean, like a, I mean, like I am thanked. I am like in the background.
Oh, I thought you meant like traditionally people are named Eliza or Skinner. In
no, I mean like I'm like I can show you Easter eggs of like my name in different comic books. That's
those are the kind of guys that are. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, the kind of people that are into me are other big hairy men.
That means you're the best big hairy man. They're voting for you
for
president.
It's the most narcissistic thing ever.
President big hairy man.
You want to fuck someone who looks like you? Thank you.
I mean, don't we all, in a way? I mean, genetically, if you want to fuck, if genetically we're all trying to fuck our parents, and our parents look like us, we're kind of trying to fuck ourselves.
It is kind of, I remember film theory and criticism senior year, I took with one Tiffany.
Yes. Is this where you guys met?
No, we had met the year before. We met sophomore year.
Okay.
Started dating junior year. Mm-hmm. And then like senior year or second half of junior year, we took a class together because also she does work. So it's the best person to be in every class with. Because it's like now she's we were friends before we started dating. So she was at first just like my hot friend who you wanted to be in group projects with because she did all the work and was hot and fun to be around. And then as I was like doing that, I was like, wait, I'm in love with her. Like, I'm like, isn't it so cool to have a friend who's so attractive and so fun to be around and is like very helpful with you? And I'm like, what I'm describing is a good relationship. I was like, what if we could add kissing to this? It
Man,
would be
you
ideal.
Really lucked out by not being so stupid that you didn't notice that last part.
I know, exactly.
They'd be like, the train was leaving the station. You're like, oh, wait.
I could date her, maybe. Yeah. Well, it's like meeting her and my confidence were crashing together at the same time. Like, if I had met her when I was 2 years earlier, or not at this point in my life when I was a full-blown obnoxious asshole, like, I had the confidence to be like, this hot girl would fuck me.
Yeah.
But we took this class together, and the teacher, C+ Susie, Sue Lawrence, said, she said, the ultimate form of narcissism is that we always are attracted to people who are like us. And we had just started kind of dating and hooking up, and we had talked about how we're so similar despite being so different. And then we were realizing, like, we looked at each other and we were like, both kind of shrugged, like, yeah, we sort of know we're narcissists. That's fine. Eh, at least we look
worst
different.
Things you could be.
Turns out I'll need that narcissism to survive the next 10 years of unsuccess in the business.
And the end times when you're like, everything's terrible, the world's falling apart, but I'm still pretty great.
I'm a decent person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the ultimate form of narcissism. Like, you're like, oh, I like this person. What do I like about them? Oh, they're like me.
But on the other hand, isn't it also the cliche that the things that you hate about other people are the things that are in you?
Oh, yeah.
The things and that annoy you about yourself?
Tiff does that annoys me. I'm like, I don't even think I'm allowed to say something because I think that's like what I'm known for.
For doing the even worse, like turned up version of it.
Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, no, that annoys me. And I do that times 10 to her daily. Let me pump the brakes. Let me not say anything now.
I'm going to go ahead and eat that one. Yeah. That's fine.
I'll take it. Continue to talk about yourself.
Yeah. Have we talked about, I don't know if we've talked about this or if you remember, do you remember writing that thing for me for my website for Hello Hilarious?
Oh my God.
So
no.
I had this website.
Throw pillows?
Yes. I had a website about women in comedy years ago, like at least a decade ago, maybe like 12 years ago. And at that point, like all things in comedy, when it was like a women in comedy thing, there was a lot of like, well, but what do men think of it? And after a few months of that, I was like, okay, fine, we'll do a boy week, which now I'm a little bit like, come on, man, why didn't you stick to your guns? Let them have their own website. All the other websites are their websites.
Let them let Gabers keep writing for Maxim.
Yeah. And so I asked a few different guys, and you were one of them, just like, hey, is there something you would want to write for this website? And you wrote a thing about how living with Tiff had taught you about throw pillows, which had taught you about like, living with other people and making the thing that's important to them important enough to you that you respect it. And it was a really good little piece.
There's a deep evolution of that theory that I now pitch to a lot of single friends and a lot of apps and stuff like that. Because people who listen to this podcast have heard this 100 times, and I may have told you twice in the last month, but I'll just get it out again. I have this strong thing that like, and it's not the right way to say it. I'm going to fine tune it eventually, but it is, you have to be okay with disliking 5 things about your partner. Like,
but oh, yeah, and okay about it.
Yes, be like, traditionally, that's not something I like in someone else, but these 90 other theses line up.
Now, to what degree okay? Is it okay to call it out and like point and like acknowledge between the two of you that you don't like it? Or is it kind of okay where you're like, don't fucking bring this up, dum-dum. You just don't like it and be cool about not liking it.
Learn to not like it. Learn to like it. Or learn to not care. Because it's one of those things where it's like, it doesn't help you to bust their balls about. Unless
yes.
it is,
okay, so it's
if
not
it
that.
Is like smoking, that's like something you can like maybe help, that would be good. But if it is something like, for example, people will, I want a guy who's 5'10 or taller. So they'll just swipe.
You can't do anything about that.
Yeah, you swipe left on a 5'9 guy, but maybe he's literally perfect the other way. I always use the example, like if I saw a picture of Tiff on a dating app, I think undoubtedly she's attractive, but I'd be like, she seems like she puts a lot of effort into her look, and that's not for me. And that's been a thing in our relationship for now going on 15 years of she takes a long time to get ready. She really cares about her appearance, as you can see by my apartment. She really cares about that, and that's shit that doesn't matter to me at all, and it actually frustrates me that there's stuff on every surface and there's succulents everywhere, but it's something that I realize means so much to her. But I would write her off meeting her.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or I would say like, I want someone in the more creative job. And then you realize this person is truly creative. They just don't do it for their career and something like that. And I think a lot of people, because of apps, gives you that like diner menu mentality when you're like, I don't want shrimp. So I'll wipe out this whole section of shrimp where you're like, actually this diner has great shrimp scampi or whatever, you know, some stupid example like that. So I think that all stems from learning like back in the day, I'm like, I'm not anti throw pillow. I'm like anti having to deal with the idea of get. And then I'm like,
maintaining them and putting them
like,
back
why?
In the bed. Yeah.
Why do I feel that way? And then it's at the same time, like I found myself being like, well, it annoys me that you don't know as much about movies as me or something like that. And Tiffany's like, what? And I'm like, wait, you're right. I don't have a leg to stand on there. But I think that's what I would be pitching to all my friends is like, don't write someone off on like 2 things that you're like, you can't create a character that is your partner. Like in a video game, you can't be like strength 85, you know? Like,
well, and sometimes it's creepy when you do. Like I've definitely dated people where things line up so much that it's like, oh, I don't have anything to talk to you about because you already know all the stuff that I know.
Right, and it like sounds good on paper where you're like on the app, you're like, wow, we have a lot in common. Then you get together and you're like, this is weird. I need some new...
Like, did you know the album was recorded at the... Oh, yeah, you do? Okay. Oh, hey, did you know that movie was... Okay, you know that too.
Yeah, it's like, we need to introduce
sometimes
new stimuli.
Sometimes I feel like this is you think that too? All right. I think the problem with apps, though, even more than any of that, is like it makes you lazy. Like, I don't go out... You'll never meet someone on an app the things that really attract you are not the things that you see on an app. Like, it's not the, it's not a still photo. Look, I, Gabrus, I can take a fucking still photo. I'll tell you.
If you check your Instagram, you do take a few.
I can take, I can take a good one.
Oh, I agree.
But once my face moves, it's completely different. Like, I take a serene, good photo, and then in real life, I'm like, blah, anyway, okay, you know. And it's like, that's not what's actually there. And I feel like the way you move, the way you smell, and I don't mean like move like to try to be sexy, just like little, like you know how snakes are disgusting to humans fundamentally?
Yeah.
And it's because not the way, it's not that we're like,
they move
can
in
kill
an unnatural
me.
Way.
Yeah, they move in an unnatural way. And
they
there
look
are
like
people,
they're moving backwards, but they're coming forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are people that do the same thing, I think, to us, whether we recognize it or not. You're never going to see that on an app.
Right.
And you're never going to know that like someone smells too much like a regular candle. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have a weird wax smell to you or whatever it is.
You definitely have a weird smelling home based on how bland you smell right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's really, because I take terrible photos. So I always imagine if I was like trying to be in a dating app, I would be like, I need to get to the level where I meet them, because I'm like funny and can talk to people. I'm like, let me get to that point. But I'm also like lazy on text and stuff. Mm-hmm. I could never do it now. I'd be like,
well, but text is lying. Like, I mean, texting has really gotten me into some hot water, because I'll have people that I'm like, we are so close. And then I'm like, I've seen them once in my life. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah,
but we have great text banter.
Yeah.
So you don't really have any connection. You don't know.
Oh, that's so
weird.
Oh
God. One time I had a text thing going with this guy who's also a screenwriter. So two screenwriters, this is the fucking killer dialogue of the century, man. Should have just cast it and sold it to Paramount. It was amazing. Nothing came of it.
Right. And because maybe once you meet in person, you can improvise. And another person's like, I need 4 minutes to respond.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to look at it and then sort of punch it up after the fact. Yeah.
I need to decide which Save the Cat story we're working on.
Are we
here?
The Dark Knight of the Soul here?
I think we might be a Golden Fleece.
I think I played Blake Snyder in the improv show,
didn't
I? Yeah.
You did.
Oh, that's humiliating.
Yeah.
I think I literally walked on and said, I'm Blake Snyder, screenwriter of Blank Check.
Blank Check, yeah. Yeah, and then Sheer came out and pointed out and made some other Save the Cat thing, and I made him, what's his name? James Cameron. Just to recap an improv show no one was at or will ever see.
And wasn't particularly good with to begin with. Just reliving our non-glory days?
Yeah, our recent days.
We're just talking about something that happened on Friday.
Yes. Yeah,
it's Tuesday. That's about as far back as my memory goes.
Yeah, this is what
I've
life
been Eliza
is.
For 13 years. Let's talk about how we hung out on Friday.
Uh-huh. Hey, we're also big fans of that the Samuel L. Jackson movie that we shilled for. We did that together.
Hitman's Bodyguard. Yes.
Another time where I was like, dibs on Gabrus. I know him. Sorry, guys. I get to work with him.
Oh, and I was thankful. I was like, if I'll work with Eliza, because she's the only person I recognize.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we even made, you were like, love working with my friends. You posted on Instagram.
Yeah, and you were like, are we friends?
I wrote, this is how I found out we were friends.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Great.
Well, speaking of great, do you have anything you want to plug, Eliza? People, check out Eliza's podcast, Cool Playlist. It's really fun. You have people on. You guys build a playlist under some sort of theme together.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening to this podcast because you're a fan of me and don't know Eliza, check out my episode of her podcast as a way in, because it was really fun. We got to talk about, we did a Riding Into Battle playlist.
Yes.
And it was a blast.
Yeah, and people have liked it. They people have downloaded the playlist also, as well as the podcast, and been using that for different...
I might have to fucking bust out that playlist. I forgot that it would be up there.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah. It's on the Spotify. Yeah, that's mostly it.
That's it.
Thank you. Also, I'm a touring stand-up, so if I'm...
Book me.
Yeah, book me, or if I'm in your town, come see me.
Yeah, also, if stand-up bookers are listening to this, book me too.
Yeah. Gabrus is pretty good.
Just in case. And what are you at on social media if people want to tweet at us about other music festival advice or something?
I'm at Eliza Skinner on Twitter, and on Instagram, I'm at eSkins, because I'm confusing, but there you can see all my too many photos.
I didn't say too many. I just said a lot. No judgment, just a natural observation.
Yeah, well, you know, sounds like the algorithm is pushing me to you, so I'll just say that.
Maybe I should stop liking. But I
no,
can't.
No, don't.
I can't. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Listen to Action Boys on Patreon. Listen to Raised by TV on Earwolf. And bye, shitheads. I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.